Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was going to do,
are tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways on today, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all has been well in your family circle. I hope and I pray that all continually to be well with you and yours, hallelujah, and may God just continually to bless you as only he can do, hallelujah. And I want to take out this time, I want to take this podium on today to acknowledge all of those that had lost their lives in the 9/11 blast. I witnessed that on the worldwide screen around the world. It had been telecast. And so I remember that time, I mean, just as it was yesterday. And I want to send condolences out to those of you that have lost loved ones in that tragedy. And also those of you that has lost loved ones that has been sick for some time, those that has been in an automobile incident or whatever the case might be, I just want to send condolences out to you and let you know that you are not alone. Letting you know that when you saw only two set of footprints versus four sets, when you only saw a set of two, that is when God carried you spiritually, because God is a spirit. And so we just want you to be encouraged. Let you know that you have sisters and brothers, praying warriors, sojourners, disciples all over this country that are praying 24/7 for you, you, and you. So may God just richly bless you and uplift your soul on today and comfort your heart. And we just want God to just continually to bless you on today. All right, I think those of you that continually to tune in to the Old Ship of Zion, all of my faithful listeners, just know that God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. And Overseer Ward is just not telling you this just to make you feel good, but I'm telling you this because it is the truth. So help me God. God is going to bless you for your time and whatever you rendered unto God, whatever you've rendered through this ministry. In any other ministry, God is going to bless you. And I just thank you for just continually to be a loyal and faithful, hallelujah, listener of the Old Ship of Zion with your host, Overseer Janice Ward. And at the conclusion of this program, I will open up the line for prayer requests. And you are welcome to do so at that time. You can call in and talk live with yours truly. And so I just want you to just get your good seat. And get comfortable, bring all your digital gadgets, may it be your laptop, may it be your iPhone, or may it be your tablet. So you just bring all those digital devices aboard because we are in need of them. I am scheduled to be with you 1 hour on today, and I'm going to stay in that time zone. We're just going to let God have his way with the service on this morning. This is our first service that I know of, and if I'm mistaken, forgive me, but don't charge it to my heart, but charge it to my head. So, but far as I know, this is the first program we're coming at you in the month of September, and we are now at 9/11, the tragedy, the catastrophe that happened in our world on our time clock. But we know that God is able. God is still keeping those survivals. yet moving right along. Hallelujah. In your element. So now we're going to, without any further ado, we're going to go now into our opening prayer. Because every time that we come across these airways and skyways, we fail not, hallelujah, to acknowledge God. Because we have to acknowledge God in everything that we do in this life. We cannot make it without God. Hallelujah. And so he said in all that we do to acknowledge him, and he would direct yours and mine and our path. Hallelujah. So I just want you to know that God loves us when we acknowledge him in everything that we do, because we know without him we are nothing, but with him we are everything. So I'm just asking those of my beautiful listeners, my beautiful sisters and brothers out there in radio land, in digital land, in podcast land, I want you just to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty, God, and your sovereignty is unmeasurable. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us to assemble, God, once again around this world. Hallelujah. And we're coming on the four corners, should I say, of this world, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. And until you come, God, you told us to keep on working. So we will continue to have our hand held to the plow, not looking backwards, but looking forward and looking onward and upward. Hallelujah, in your grace and your mercy, God. We just want you to have your way in this service on today, God, as only you can do. And we'll hope and pray that this word will inspire some heart, somebody out there that seem like all hope is gone, seem like you're all alone, and seem like nobody love you. I come to bring you the good news that Jesus love you. Hallelujah. Jesus went all the way to Calvary Mountain over 2,000 light years ago. They hung him high and they sprayed them wide. And God gave up the ghost, the Bible says. So we know, with that being said, somebody loved us enough to go to Calvary Cross in our stead, because had to be somebody that was pure and was sinless and sin-free and blameless and spotless. Jesus Christ was the only candidate, hallelujah, that made the grade. So we know that Jesus loved us, even if our parents walk out the door, close the door in our face and tell us, don't darken my door again. Don't call me again. Don't write me another letter. We know that God is with us. God's word declare, I'll never leave you, my son, my daughter. I'll never forsake you. But I, God, hallelujah, will be with you till the end of the earth. And that means everlasting to everlasting. You are never alone. You might be alone bodily, but you are not alone spiritually. Because we have a Heavenly Father in his heavenly domain that's sitting high and he's looking low over the good and the not so good. So just know that you have two friends today. You have Jesus number one, and you have Overseer Ward number two that love you. Hallelujah, with all of my heart and my soul. Hallelujah. So I just want you to get your good seat, get comfortable, bring your beverages, may it be your latte, your OJ, your water beverages, and whatever you have at your disposal. Bring it aboard and just allow me to minister the word of God unto you. And so I'm going to log in the number, so it will be there at the conclusion of our program. Those of you that desire prayer, you know, and it's nothing too hard for God. So, you know, don't think that, you know, oh, God is not going to hear my prayer. But God hears our every groan. Even when we can't say a word, you know, God is a heart reader. God is a mind regulator. Hallelujah. So I want you to know that whatever you want from God, huh, is just a whisper prayer away. Hallelujah. It's nothing that God can't do. When God owns everything, that means you and I, God owned us. God owned everything. He owns all the finance institutions. He owns all the banks, all the loans institutions. God owned all the gold bars, all the stock exchange. Everything belonged to God. So when you got a God that owns everything, he said it's nothing off limit to you. He said, whatever you ask in my name and believe it, you shall have it. So we know that as long as we got a Heavenly Father that owns everything, that means if our Heavenly Father is rich, guess what? That make you and I rich as well. We are rich in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, you can't get any richer than that, is being rich in Christ Jesus. You can be earthly rich, but you can be earthly rich with God, and you can be earthly rich without God. And that's a sad predicament to be in, is when you're rich and you don't know God, because your money becomes your God at that time. But when you have worth and wealth with God, then you have absolutely, positively everything that you will need in this life. Hallelujah. So anyway, we're going to open on up our program, and we're going to take you into a live service that's already, hallelujah, already in progression. And so we know that time is ticking right along. I might have to, you know, get a few more minutes in there, because I've talked a while and it's eating up my little minutes with this hour. But, you know, if I have to, I won't be with you too much over that time. But I've, you know, I've did a lot of announcements and things, and so that has taking up a little more time than I anticipated. But anyway, like I said, we're going to now take you on into a live program. And our theme on today entitled A New Constructed Heart. I want to say that one more time. A New Constructed Heart. And we're going to read our first key scripture. And it reads like this. All right. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Let me make sure I'm reading that correctly, because I might have to read that again. All right, he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. So that was correct. I just wanted to make sure I was on point, because I always want to come across with the divine word of God. I'm not going to add nothing to the word of God, and neither am I going to take anything away. So we're talking about a new constructed heart. How many of us needs a new constructed heart? And we know that when we were in the world, we had a stony heart. And sometimes, right now, I mean, we can be in God and still have a stony heart. So it's not just toward being in the world, because we have some people that, you know, is in the church house, and they got a heart made of stone. But what I was getting at was when we was in the world, you know, we had a heart that wasn't like God. We might have been nice, you know, and kind to a certain degree. But that does not mean that we didn't have something in our heart that needed to be uprooted that needed to be, in other words, our heart needed to be made new and improved and taken away the old heart and replaced it with a good new heart. You see what I'm saying? So we know that in the today's world in which we live, in our nation, we know that our nation is sick. And it had a bad heart. Our nation and the people need a major operation, and that is a heart transplant. The symptoms of the bad heart are violence, crime, dysfunctional families. We have racism, moral and social apathy, greed, and adultery. Hallelujah. And we know that we can look at the children of Israel. They rebel against God. Hallelujah. Because their hearts were hardened. And we have some individuals in today's world. Their heart is hard, like a stone. You know, you've done something to them, and they will not forgive you. You don't know what you've done to them. And whatever you did to them, you told them, I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I've done to you. And that person said, hey, I don't care how you acknowledge that you're sorry. I'm not going to forgive you. But I'm here to set the record straight. Is when someone asks your forgiveness and you do not accept their forgiveness, then God is not going to forgive you of the things that you have done. So just remember, what you reap, you will sow. Hallelujah. You know, I want to share a story with you, because when I come across, I want to exemplify some of the things that I have experienced, some of the things that's in my family circle, as well as in your family circle. I have a relative right now. He is my blood brother. Last time I saw him, I was at his home. I commended him of how beautiful his home was, and he treated me like a queen. And I thank God, you know, for blessing him to be where he is today. And, of course, he's known God, and he need to know God again. But I know he knows God. He knows what the standards of living for God is. But getting right back where I started from, I left his home to come back to my home. And before I got ready to leave his home, I embraced him, gave him a sisterly hug and a godly kiss on his cheek, and told him, thank you for everything, all the service rendered. And I come back to my home, and as the days progressed, I got ready to call him and see how he was doing. And at that time, he had changed his number. And I didn't know why he had changed his number, but for whatever reason, he changed his number. He doesn't have an email that I have accessory to, and he doesn't have a number that I could get in contact with him again with. But as they said, the word on the street was that he was mad with me. And I didn't know why he was mad with me, and all I could remember is when I was last at his home, you know, that we had a good time, and I know I left, you know, and we was feeling good, and I was feeling good, you know, and everything, and I didn't understand why he was mad with me. But it was said that he was mad with me because, you know, we have some property, and, you know, and when you're an heir, you know, everybody that's an heir, if the property, whatever you're trying to sell it, or if it's in lien, or if the you know, if they're trying to take it or auction it or whatever, they will contact the heirs and let you know, that, hey, we're going to take this land if somebody don't pay up. So they contacted all of the heirs. They even contacted me by certified mail. But anyway, the word on the street was he was mad because somebody had contacted him at his job. I don't know his job. I don't know where he worked. I just know he worked for the city, I believe, but I don't know where he worked, what department, what the number is, or nothing. This man has been mad with me, and it just grieved my spirit. And I didn't know why he was mad with me. And I tried to search my soul out. I said, God, I know I haven't done anything. I haven't said anything. I haven't said anything to anybody. And I just, you know, it just kept eating at me and eating at me. I couldn't rest. I couldn't sleep. You know, and it was just a ever thorn in my side. So I told God, I said, well, God, I don't know what he mad at me about. I haven't done anything to him. I said, but, you know, I'm going to love him anyway. And I, when Christmas came around, cards for all of those that, you know, I wanted to send out a Christmas card to, and I included him. I sent him out one to his address, and it didn't come back, so apparently it had made it to his residential address. And so, anyway, I didn't hear anything back. So I told God, I said, well, God, I said, I don't know, but maybe you can touch his heart, you know, and maybe I know you know what's wrong. I said, but I don't know what's going on, you know. And so it wasn't long ago, a friend of the family gave me his number. And I called this number, and the phone rung a couple of times. And so the person on the other end picked up the phone and said, like that. Didn't say hello, was just, And I said, hello. I said, is this my brother? And the person didn't say yes or no. And I called his name, and I said, well, I just was missing you, and I just wanted to hear your voice. And the person on the other line just hung up on me. And, you know, that hurt me so bad. That hurt me so bad. But, you know, I wouldn't let the devil have the satisfaction of seeing me weeping. I said, devil, use a lie. I said, but you know what? I said, I'm going to keep on praying for you, brother. I said, because, see, you know, it's one thing to know God. See, when people don't know God, God have sympathy and empathy for them. But this man knows God. He knows God. Even if he's not living the life, he knows the standard of God. But yet, his heart is in need of a new reconstructed heart. So I said all that to say this. Those of you that are out there in my listening audience on today, if you have anything in your heart that you have not let go of, may it be jealousy, malice, covetousness, jealousy, whatever it is, you need to let it go. God said you don't never need to let the sun go down with you being mad at somebody, because you don't know when death lies a knock at your door. So it behooves you and I that whatever they did to us, there's nothing that we can do about it. You can't go and jump on them. You can't go and shoot them. But you just accept that, hey, they asked you to forgive them. And you say, I forgive you, my brother. I forgive you, my sister. And get on with your life. As one person said, and get over it. But I'm talking about that new reconstructed heart that we are in need of today. In our world. In our society. Hallelujah. So we know that the children of Israel, they chose not to remember God's blessings, his deliverance, or his instructions. And they were trampled down. We know that the object of this ridicule, that they had defeated spirit, they had lost their direction and their prosperity. But when the nation of Israel repented, they changed their hearts toward God and renewed their relationship with him. Then God said, see now, I am with you. Things are going to get to be better than ever before. And we know that the world will acknowledge and honor me, your God, because of your renewed relationship. And so with that being said, we know that God will, hallelujah, he will be a God that will be in center in our lives. God will renew our families. Our families will be whole again. Our communities will be rekindled. and they will be rebuilt. Our population will increase. And God said that we will be more prosperous than ever before, even at our beginnings. We can go into the book, as I far read earlier, in the book of Ezekiel. And it says that conditions don't have to stay the way that they are. We don't have to suffer the symptoms of a bad heart. God said that if we repent, and repentance is the operation that we need. That's you and I and us. We need. And the repentance is the operation. And God promised that if we repent, he would give you and I a new heart. He said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, coming out of law, Ezekiel 36 and 26 through 27. Hallelujah. Now we know that repentance before the God and our Lord and our Savior, it results in receiving a new heart, a forgiven heart. We know that a new heart produces love. It produces joy. It produces peace. It produces kindness. It produces goodness. It produces fidelity. It produces gentleness. It produces self-control. So we know that God promised you and I and us a restoration and a preservation are the rewards of our new heart. Hallelujah. See here, God is with you and I and us. God will give us that new heart that we are so desperately in need of, because it's some people that heart right now is made of stone. But God can change that stony heart and make it into a heart of flesh. That's what he said in his word. Hallelujah. So you need to ask God on today to change that heart of yours. Tell God to make you over. Make you, because he can make you brand new. He can make you improve. You might look the same on the outside, but you will be new and improved on the inside of that heart of yours. Hallelujah. God said, he said that I have surely seen the oppressions, hallelujah, of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. When you and I are experiencing deep sorrow or difficult circumstances, you and I may feel offended if someone suggests that something good can emerge from our adversity. Well-meaning for a person who tries to encourage you and I and us to trust God, promises may be perceived as insensitive or even unrealistic. That happens to the children of Israel when God was working for their deliverance from Egypt. And as Pharaoh hardened his heart toward the Lord's command to let his people go, he increased the Hebrew slaves' workload by forcing them to gather the straw they needed to make bricks. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Exodus 5 and 10 through 11. The Bible says that because they so discouraged, they couldn't accept Moses' assurance that God had heard the cry and promised to take them to a land of their own. There are times when you and I and us, when we hurts and our hurt and our fear can close our ears to the hopeful words of God. But we know that the Lord doesn't stop speaking to you and I and us. When it's hard for you and I to hear, he continues working on our behalf, just as he did in delivering his people from Egypt. As we experience God's compassion and his loving care, we can begin to hear again, even as the hurt continued to heal. And we're talking about this morning, this afternoon, night, wherever you might be, corners of this earth. We're talking about a new reconstructed heart. Some of us need a reconstructed heart on today, on tonight, wherever you might be, wherever you're hearing this podcast recording. Hallelujah. We need a new heart, because God said only the pure in heart shall see him. No contaminated heart is going to heaven. Hallelujah. But we have to be pure. We have to be holy if we want to see Jesus.
How many years have you lost to the locusts? Have self-indulgent, sensuality, sinful motives, personal ambitions rob you and I of our joy and peace and our fruitfulness? Courage when you think of all the time that you seem to have been wasted away because you know that those days and those months and years can never be reclaimed. And if you have that feeling inside of you, consider the words of the Lord through the prophet Joel. He said that God told the people of Israel that even though they had been disobedient to him and had been disciplined through a plague of locusts, God said that there was still hope for them. The Lord said that he is gracious and he's merciful, slow to anger, and of his great in kindness. Then he promised that I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Hallelujah. We find out when you and I and us, when we confess our sins to the Lord, he is quick to forgive you and I our past and fill our future with hope. He can bring good out of every wasted year. He does that by teaching you and I and us humility to our failures and by helping us to understand our weaknesses we have in common with each other. Although our previous years may have been blighted by sin, God is eager to restore you and I and us and give us much fruit from our labor. What we have learned from the past can now result in productive service for him and heartfelt praise to him. We know that the years ahead is filled with hope. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. No matter how dark your past, with Christ, your future can be, will be bright. Hallelujah, Jesus. Our sermon once again, a new reconstructed heart. And I am reminded, hallelujah, I know I'm going to have to probably, like I said, probably up a few more minutes here to bring you some hymns of Zion. So I'm going to try to complete this last reading if I can. I am reminded of an individual, we'll just call his name John. He dreamed of building a massive bridge over the Eastern River in Brooklyn, Manhattan. And unfortunately, at the onset of the project, his foot was crushed in an accident. We're told that in the recovery process, that John insisted he knew best and took charge of his own medical care. After refusing help, he began to show signs of tenderness. Before long, John's jaws is locked into a permanent smile. He encountered seizures and dementia and plagued him until his death, weeks later, we were told. Well, we find out in our Bible reading, the Bible tells us about an independent person who balked at the help offered to him. His name was Naaman. He was a great warrior of Syrian. He suffered from leprosy. He sought out the prophet Elijah for healing, but had perceived ideas about how the healing should take place. So when Elijah sent his messenger to tell him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times, Naaman was enraged. But Naaman's own servant gave wise advice. So if the prophet had told you and I and us to do something great, would you have done it or would you have not? We read in the law of 2 Kings 5:13 that Naaman followed the prophet's simple instructions and his leprosy was cured. Talking about a reconstructed heart. And this individual that had suffered tetanus, permanent jaw lock, so he had a permanent because his jaws was locked, in other words. And then he suffered seizures because he failed to go and get medical help. See, that's having a heart, stony heart. He said, I'll tend to my own self. I refuse to go to the doctor and let a trained physician tend to my illnesses. Instead, I'll do it myself. And then all of this come upon him. The lockjaw, dementia, and then he died. See, we have to move that stony heart and allow God to tenderize that heart. See, that heart has to be tenderized just like meat. You know, when we cook a steak, no one wants to eat a tough steak because it is of no good. It is of no use. You tell it, just dump the plate. If this is a tough steak, then just throw it in the trash because it is of no use to me. So we know that we want a steak that is tenderized and enjoyable, hallelujah, to our tasting. So this heart of ours, God has to tenderize this heart to make it into a heart of flesh that can forgive, that can love. Hallelujah. That's the kind of heart that we have to have if we want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. And God will give us a heart of love to where if you see a neighbor that's in need, you won't turn a deaf ear, but you will say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do, hallelujah, to make a difference in this world? You know, a kind word, a hug, a kiss on the cheek. Say, God bless you. You can offer them currency, those that are in need. Someone tell you I'm hungry. Don't turn them away. If God don't say turn them away now. We know there's a lot of bribers. Tell you what, on the other evening, I was sitting in my car, and I was talking on my phone. And the person didn't say excuse me or anything. Just told me, made in motions. It was two of them. I expect probably the mother and the daughter. Told me, say, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Can you buy me a donut? And my spirit, I didn't have that spirit like I usually have when someone have a sign and say, I'm hungry. You know, can you help me? I'm quick to help. I'm quick to stop on my brakes and give that person money, you know, to get them something to eat or something to drink or whatever. But when this woman come up to my window of my car on last evening and said, can you buy us a donut? You know, usually beggars don't be choosy. You know, I'm reminded of the beggar that sit at the rich man's table. He didn't tell the rich man, hey, I want a steak. I want a T-bone steak. I want it rare. Hallelujah. I want a pork chop. I want spaghetti and meatball. I want caviar. But the beggar took the scraps from the rich man's table. Say, all I want just the scraps. You don't have to give me a T-bone steak. I'm not asking for a pork chop. I'm not asking for a fried chicken. But just give me the scraps. Just give me the scraps that fall from your table. But this mother and this daughter identified what they wanted. They said, we want donuts. They didn't say we want a sandwich. They didn't say we want a hamburger. They didn't say we want tacos. We wanted food. We want lunch meat, cold cuts. But we want a donut. And I just made a gesture as move around. Because I felt in my spirit that they was getting over. Prove that God was not wrong in what I was feeling in my spirit. Hispanic woman come back up to my window. Another woman told me, said, those people that came up to your car said they are just getting over. Don't give them anything. She was speaking in Spanish. Some of it I could identify with, and some of it that she was talking the language I couldn't identify because I don't talk Spanish fluently, just a few words, you know, here and there. But my point is, when God put on your heart to help somebody, you help that individual. And don't ask no question to God as why, and, you know, just how can I help them, you know? And a lot of times if you don't have money, you know what you can do? You can pray for that person, that God will send somebody, because God have a whole lot of people that can help somebody that's in need. So God said that he's going to bless you even though you didn't have it. You know, there could be times you could be sitting in church on the church pews and the offering plate come around and you say, God, I don't have a dime to my name. I don't even have one mite to put in this plate. But I have a desire to pray, God, that I don't have it, but I desire to have, but I have it not. Don't you know God is going to bless you because you had a mind to give, but yet you didn't have it? So that's the same prayer that you can pray for somebody that's in need. If you don't have the money, God knows you don't have it. If you have it, God knows that you do have it, and you're sitting on it. And God is not going to bless you if you do that. But when you don't have it, you know in your heart you don't have it, you can pray that God will send somebody along that can help that individual. I've seen it done. I've prayed myself. A lot of times I wasn't using cash. I was using my card. And a person said they was in need and I didn't have anything. And then I would pray. I'd stand right there. Hey, I'm going to pray that God will send somebody. And the time I would walk out the store, the person said, you know what? While you was in the store, God sent somebody. A man gave me $30. Another person gave me $20. So don't tell me what prayer won't do. I know that prayer will work when you got a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So like I said, God can change that heart of yours and make it into a flesh heart versus a heart of stone. And we know that in the chapter of Romans, Paul's friends in the Roman church, it states that he longed to see them, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And in this walk of faith, in this life that we live, on this journey that we're on, we are to encourage one another daily, even if it's by a text message, by letter, by phone, airway, however you can communicate. You are to encourage one another daily. That's not what I said, but that's what God said. Hallelujah. And mutual means sharing in common are characterized by intimacy. It means that Paul would be able to encourage them, and they would be in a position to encourage him as well. Because we know that everyone needs encouragement. And it always requires two who are close to each other for the best results. We know that the elements that draw them together, it was their faith in Jesus Christ. That meant that they both shared love for Jesus. They served the same master. You and I and us, we serve the same master. So we can share in each other encouragement. And they believe the same truth. You and I has to believe the same truth. We have to believe in the same God. We can't believe in, name, let's see, I think it's Methuselah, because Methuselah is dead, been dead, and been buried. He done rotted now. But we know that Jesus Christ is not a myth, but Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ died, yes he did. On that third day he rose, yes he did. God is alive and well today, yes he is. God is sitting in his heavenly dominion on the right-hand side of God. Yes, he is. So we know that God did what he said that he did. It's not a myth, but it is the truth. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you and I and us, we come from the same family. I mean holy family is what I'm talking about. We believe in the same truth. It doesn't matter the church, what church you're coming from, but we are called the family, the Christian family. And we have the greatest support system in the world. But you and I and us, we must ask ourselves, if others are encouraged by our faith, they will not be if our faith is weak. They will not be if our faith is never seen in action. The church is not a mutual admiration society, but it certainly must be a mutual encouragement society. You and I, like Paul, we long to be with those we can encourage and who can encourage you and I as well. So I would encourage you to ask God to change that heart of stone, a new reconstructed heart, a flush of forgiving, of loveliness. Hallelujah. God can do that. God can change anybody that want to be changed. But you have to have the mindset to be changed. God can take away that racism. God can take away that violent heart. God can take away that heart of crime. God can take away that dysfunctional family circle that you're in. God can take away that heart of greed. God can take away that heart of adultery and make it a heart of flesh. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infused your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been, this station has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Your host has been Overseer Janice M. Ward. Our theme on today has been a new reconstructed heart. Till we come across these airways and skyways again, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Guerra, California 95020. You can log on to our web address, www.janiceWardMinistries.org. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program, turning you over to the Hymns of Zion program. Uplift your spirit, courage, your heart on today. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you are encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your wheel because he is people friendly. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up now, Hymns of Zion. Bye for now. Thank you. those out there desire any prayer requests, the request line are now open. You can call into the studio at 646-200-3074. Those numbers again are 646-200-3074. The quest line is now open. God bless you. Bye for now. Hymns of Zion playing right now.
I want to tell you a story about two sisters, Mary and Martha, whose brother now lay. And it was that same man who Jesus made rise from the dead. Now, just in case you're doubting the power that Jesus possesses, we want to give you some encouragement. Let's do it. Wait, hold up. Check him out.
Girl, who?
He is the bomb.
Oh, boy, you gotta and tied over there. Man, no, check out the outfit.
Oh, that is so
cool. Look at his cut. Cut. No, that's important.
Very important.
Ooh. Now, that's a thought. Thank you.
and receive your pain. I will not stand to be disrespected and have you call me out my name. Tear it apart. Oh, no. those who are in Christ Jesus. So we want to take a little time to say thank you.
The whole earth is full of thy
Trinity. Mm-hmm. You ever think about what that actually means? I mean, it's scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7.
For these three bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word,